All right, welcome back, interweb friends. Time for another episode of Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. Very special episode this week, taking a look at the Hulk Hogan dramatic action film, No Holds Barred.
Questionable.
Yeah. Why do the movies we do in the show never have like a clear genre? They're like crazy mashes up of other genres. Couple guys off this week. We have a very special guest who I'm going to introduce in a minute. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined this week by Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
Cody Wolf.
What's that smell?
And our very special guest, so many things to introduce him as. You might know him as the lead singer of Scars and Stripes, the rock band, radio personality, television, works in television, WWF and wrestling expert. Bill Ali is here for this movie. No more fitting movie to have him on.
And to return Cody's what's that smell question, that's dookie.
Yeah.
Dookie.
Yeah. Bill, maybe to start off with, can you give us a little background? This movie's from 1989. It was co-produced by the WWF?
Yeah, there was they started the roots of WWF films back then. And if you really want to say, the roots of the whole thing started January 23rd, 1984, when Hulkamania was born.
Okay.
That's when Hulk Hogan beat the Iron Sheik in Madison Square Garden, sold-out crowd. And they decided, after the Hulk Hogan did Rocky III, was Thunderlips in Rocky III,
They wanted to remake that movie as a wrestling movie.
They wanted to take an already pop icon and make him an international superstar.
Okay. Okay.
And this was the vehicle for Hulk Hogan to become the man, the myth, the legend.
Because one of the things that I'll say about this movie is, as a kid who was growing up in the 80s, this film felt like it missed, like, it was like two and a half years too late. Like, had this film come out in, like, 1987,
yes.
I think, like this felt like a little, like, off the mark by 1989.
The popularity of Hulkamania really peaked in 87, so yeah. That was the big Andre the Giant Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 3. And it took this, because they'd filmed this, it took Hulk Hogan off TV for a while. And so, actually, ratings suffered.
Okay.
While he was filming this, it was right after WrestleMania 4. Hogan had lost the belt finally after 4 years on a February taping of the main event, the first ever primetime WWF special.
Mm-hmm.
Lost it in a screw job, as you could say, against Andre the Giant, their second go-around. They lost the belt to go and film No Holds Barred.
Gotcha, okay.
So when he came back, they tagged him up with the Macho Man, and they did this Mega Powers thing, only for him to regain the belt in WrestleMania 5, which was right around the time when Old Spars was released.
Okay. We'll go into this movie a little bit. This movie is crazy. I mean, this is like what this podcast is all about. It is bad, but like in a so bad it's good kind of way. Like, you can say a lot of things about No Holds Barred. It is never, it's hard to describe it as boring. It's just insanity.
No,
like, this movie's crazy.
There's
all
nothing
the way
boring
through.
About this movie.
There's nothing boring. It starts. I mean, right off the bat, when you get to see the words "executive produced by Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon,"
yeah,
you know you're in for a ride. We'll start with Hulk Hogan is playing a character named Rip, but Rip is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Which confused
me. It's like Hulk Hogan
me.
In blue, basically.
It's basically Hulk Hogan, because he's doing the Hulkster even hand signal, right? Or,
well, no,
or is it a variation on it?
That was that is a specific for the movie. The Rip. If it's more of like the Shaka Bra with a little knuckle, with a little knuckle in there.
Okay. So the movie starts off, we're seeing Hulk Hogan, and it's a wrestling scene. For a movie about wrestling, there's actually not a lot of wrestling in it. It kind of goes almost really into like MMA towards the end.
Well, you get Jesse Ventura wearing a Cleopatra wig,
yep,
talking wrestling.
With
and
Gino
Mean Gene, yeah.
Yep,
yeah, we see them. They're calling
that's
this.
Classic.
Howard Finkel is the ring announcer, which is the classic ring announcer from the WWF years.
Yep.
So they actually have used the WWF product in the movie, because the banners and everything say he is the WWF World Wrestling Federation champion.
Yeah.
When he faces Jake Bullock,
Yeah.
The who is actually Axe of Demolition.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's that guy.
Well, and it looks like Rip, Hulk Hogan slash Rip. We're probably going to refer to him alternately as Hogan and Rip throughout, you know, the movie. He breaks, to win the match, he breaks a sleeper hold by looking at his own hand. He does his own hand signal, looks at his own hand, which somehow gives him the strength to break a sleeper hold in one of the oddest film moments in a film full of.
He must have the script moments. Written on his hand, so he's.
It's like, I don't know how that would.
How long do I wait before I break the hole?
I was trying to think of them, like, how does that inspire him to look at his own hand and doing, like, a signal?
That's very parallel to what he does, in the ring. He does that, he hulks up kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's very parallel to what he. So he really wasn't playing a character at all, so.
And his manager is his brother. And Jack, did you recognize his brother slash manager from a TV show that I know we both watched?
He's on a TV
regularly?
Show I watched too, actually.
He's on a couple TV shows. I'll give you a hint. Let's just say, does the word smoke monster mean anything to you?
What?
That's Jacob.
What?
Jacob.
Oh my God! It is.
Yeah, Jacob.
Oh my God!
Lost.
I didn't even notice that. What the hell?
Is Hulk Hogan's brother
what?
In this movie?
I didn't
slash
catch
manager.
That.
Yeah.
Many years later,
he's also.
You know why? Because those two are so completely different.
Yeah.
I didn't even make the distinction.
Well, he does look different because he's on Supernatural too, which is showing.
Oh,
watch.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
Yeah, he does look different. He's younger, obviously, but he looks different.
Yeah. So then we kind of cut to. We get this wrestling scene in the beginning. We jump to. What's the name of the network? Some crazy network.
The World Television Network. The World Television Network.
They're very upset because they don't have Hulk Hogan. They're not getting the ratings from Rip. Like, that he's a ratings juggernaut and that they can't get these ratings.
And the exec, the CEO, is played by Kurt Fuller.
Of course.
Who I was very disappointed in this movie.
Oh, he's...
Disappointed?
Yeah.
I thought he was the best part.
Oh, yeah.
The character was ridiculous. I mean...
Oh, it's totally ridiculous.
They take a TV CEO and turn him into this, like, you know, Lex Luthor kind of bad guy.
I thought it was awesome.
Like, megalomaniac kind of thing.
Over the top, doesn't...
Yeah. They're last in the wrestling,
over the top,
so they're
doesn't,
like...
begin to describe his performance.
We get the crazy editing right off the top, where there's a scene where, like, the TV GM is, you know, like, boardroom tomorrow. You guys better have your ideas. Cut to...
The boardroom.
Tomorrow. Like, what?
So, what are your ideas now?
And he's tossing everybody, you know, ideas. Everybody needs to give him ideas, and he thinks they're all crap.
He doesn't want to hear any ideas that don't have to do with Rip. Or wrestling.
You have to understand, too, this was brought out by New Line Cinema in the theaters, and then for home video release, it was an RCA Columbia Pictures release. So this had all the backing in the world to be a major... movie. It just
they had millions. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar, which is amazing as you look at it. Because I don't want to say unfortunately, I don't know much about how Vince McMahon chose the director. This is really the only theatrical film this director had ever made. Which, I mean, considering that your lead star is Hulk Hogan and all the money you're pouring, I mean, like, I didn't want to say to the WWF, you might want to get some more experienced hands on deck.
And it went up against Indiana Jones: The Last Crusade in the theaters that week.
That's right.
Wow.
It was
number two.
How can you
that.
Compete with that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was number two, though?
It was number two.
Yeah, it is number two.
That's not
almost
bad.
5 million in tickets the first week.
Yeah. That's number two against The Last Crusade is actually still pretty impressive.
Yeah. And we should talk about the bad, like, TV exec has two lackeys.
Two, like, Jewish stereotypes, like... TV. It's like ridiculous.
One of them is played by David Paymer, who was nominated for an Oscar like 3 years after this movie. He was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar in Mr. Saturday Night. The other is a guy I've never seen before, but who deserves an Oscar in the overacting category.
Of course. This
guy's reactions, broad isn't even the word. I mean, if this was a stage play, they would say he was playing to the balcony.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're so crazy. At one point, they bring in Hulk Hogan for a meeting, like they're gonna try and convince him to come over to their crazy network, and
he says for some reason he's not interested. I don't want to wrestle. Why?
I don't. No, wasn't even my wrestle. No, he was already
contract.
He had a contract
with
him. Which, going back to the exec, Kurt Fuller, wanted to hear all these ideas. Pretty much the idea was, oh, well, let's talk to Rip then.
How
let's
do we get steal, him here. Yeah, and how do we steal Rip?
Let's ask him if he wants to come over.
Yeah, that's like all anyone and was interested
no.
in.
But he says no, and then
Kurt Fuller slams a check down in front of him and says, it's blank.
He throws a hissy fit and because he doesn't want to sign.
And he calls him a jockass.
Yep.
which is
a classic. And then
an insult he's over and over and over.
Yeah,
again.
That I've never heard that insult before, but it's pretty common in the world of no holds barred. It. It's like the worst thing you can call someone. Yep.
Yeah. And then his return of I'll see you. I won't be here when this check clears. Is the greatest.
Because he shoves
it in his mouth. Yeah. So then they go. Okay, plan B. this is
hilarious. Let's send some goons to rough him up in the parking lot.
Well, plan B is to kidnap him. Like contract negotiations went poorly. We're just going to straight up kidnap him.
Now, we're still in the first 15 minutes of this movie, and we've already got all of these great lines and this awesome badness. And
yeah, things are already like, what is happening? They lock Hulk Hogan in the back of his
limo. So
Hogan's
in the back of a limo. He's locked in the back of the limo.
They drive into like some parking garage.
He misses
or something.
His turn. What? You missed your turn. He ends up at this parking garage.
Well, he realizes on the way when they miss the turn, he realizes he's being kidnapped. So he just starts kicking the door, trying to get out.
And here's what happens. He's kicking the door, which for some reason is affecting the driver's drive.
Yeah, that's right. And the car's going swerving
all over the road because Hulk Hogan's kicking a door. Yeah.
So then that's right. And that's I think they crash into the parking garage.
They crash into where
the car is out of control.
A firework goes off, like an explosion.
there's like M80s or whatever on the sides of the.
Then what happens next is just.
Amazing.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's the most infamous part of the movie.
I guess, hulks up and he just bursts
jumps
out of the top.
Jumps through
the roof of the car.
That is literally true. He literally explodes out of the
like
roof.
Like 5 feet into the air,
scene.
Then lands and he's
now,
all. Rrr.
In this whole time, not one portion of his clothing gets ruffled or wrinkled.
nothing happens.
His headband
and I love
stays
what he's
on perfectly.
And I love what he's doing here. Straight. As he's fighting these goons, what he's doing, he's going making all these like rabid dog sounds.
There's so much of that. Like where he's breathing really loudly. Yeah. Like,
there's like this generic kind of blues rocky type music playing right as he's kicking their asses.
Yeah. Well, and it's your classic like bad movie fight where he's fighting one guy at a time.
Yeah.
You know? And there's like they're coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
At this point. Because
like, where are these guys coming from? They weren't in the car.
No, goons are us.
Yeah. So he's throwing them
all. Bars and things.
Yeah. So the greatest, throw them all off. The greatest thing ever is when he gets done with the goons, for some reason the limo driver has stayed put.
Right.
He's still in the car.
He hasn't moved. This big, huge man is going berserk. The first thing I would do is go the opposite way of which Hulk Hogan is.
Yeah.
But instead he stays in the limo, only to be pulled through the out of the car. Lifted up.
Yeah, he rips the door off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lifts him up to Hulk Hogan looking around and smelling. And the line of the movie.
Yes.
What's that smell? And this little puny little dude. Dookie.
They show
his pants and they're all wet.
And
it just cuts to the next scene.
It just cuts. And then,
like, there's no investigation or like
why? Yeah, why is that in there?
Which we then get. I don't even know how to talk about the introduction of Joan Severance's character into this, who is
Sam,
who
I don't know,
female TV,
it's like a publicist,
marketing publicist, PR.
It's like we're hooking you up with a new publicist, just named Sam. And then he turns around, and he's like, oh,
and
Sam is a pretty girl.
And before this movie, Joan Severance was known for the Midnight B movies on Cinemax.
Yes, or Skinemax as it was real. Yeah, and so she's introduced in this movie like she's supposed to be this serious like PR executive for this. You know, essentially, I mean, I'm assuming in the world of this movie, Rip is a multi-million dollar TV personality, and Rip spends the entire meeting staring at her butt, basically, doesn't even listen to any of her like marketing ideas. The WWF really making strides in its treatment of women.
He asks her on a date in the craziest way, too. Like she says, what does your character think he should be doing? And he says, my character thinks he should be working on his charity work. And she says, I think we should be talking this. And
he no, says, it's the other way around. He says, okay. He says, my character thinks something about charity work. And he goes, but we can talk about that later for
and
some
she
reason.
She says, I'll pick you up at
and
8.
She goes, yeah, over dinner. I'll pick you up at 8. And he's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
what?
Then it's yeah. dinner at 8.
Asked out on a date.
And then,
I love too, in that whole, like the classic scene in the board life. Meeting. All these people and suits and stuff, and he's just wearing his like his wrestling red and blue outfit. Just
yeah, but he wears that to meetings, right? You know, in case a wrestling match breaks out in the boardroom.
Yeah. They go to this French restaurant.
Yes, they do. And what is he wearing?
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing that suit he's wearing. He's like wearing ridiculous. A, yeah, maybe it's because he's so big.
It,
I don't know.
Is it cut off?
No. He's wearing a legitimate
it's like
suit.
A white,
But
it's
he's wearing like a white like leisure suit with like his chest hanging out.
But it's so.
But it just looks odd.
I can't believe I'm critiquing a film for this. And if this wasn't a multi-million-dollar movie, I wouldn't be critiquing this. It is so badly tailored. It is not tailored for him. And I don't know if they were doing it to be funny or if it was supposed to be funny or if it's not supposed to be funny.
I think maybe because the first half of that scene was supposed to feel awkward, like he didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And then you find out that he goes there all the time.
What happens is they're at this snooty French restaurant and he's looking at the menu and the waiter's like, oh, I'm sorry, we do not carry hamburger American, we do not carry footlong dog, we do not have a beer or pretzels. You know, he's like picking on him for what stereotypical Americans would eat.
Yeah.
And then like the chef like runs over and is like, oh, crap. No, you don't understand.
Our friend Rip.
This is Rip. Rip comes to the restaurant all the time. And then he basically says in French, don't worry about it. It's cool. I'll have the this, that, and the other in French. And the girl's like, ooh, he speaks French.
But another.
So this waiter had no idea that apparently the biggest TV star like in the world is also not only
he's
in
like
your
restaurant,
but is also a regular at your restaurant. And you're insulting it.
Monsieur LaHoe.
Yeah. And if you like Hulk Hogan, you're probably liking this movie. But guess what? You're about to not see Hulk Hogan for like 45 minutes as the movie shifts to the bad guys for...
Basically, for some reason, because he can't get Rip, the World Television Network executive decides he wants to televise bar fights. They show up at this really trashy bar.
Oh, yeah.
And when they first show up, they ask for a couple of beers, and the waitress says, you want the gay bar? And they say, what? Dead silence. Well, come on, then. I'll sit you down.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. This movie is the comedic timing of a funeral. It's terrible. Terrible.
So they sit down at this bar and they see that there's a fight going on and it's obvious that they want to put this fight on TV. An idea is forming. These big biker guys are beating the crap out of each other. And he likes this Kurt Fuller character is foaming at the mouth. He likes the violence.
I think
he's
literally foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
There's little person, there's this midget throwing coins at him from a birdcage above them. It's this weird scene.
And in this scene, somebody who never officially worked for Vince McMahon, but a very huge name in professional wrestling, Stan the Lariat Hansen, is the guy that when they go into the bathroom.
This bathroom scene is
epic, the bathroom
scene,
yeah.
And they're laughing, you know.
Look at all those crazy hicks and those balls in the bar. And
they're
this guy
in the bathroom
kicks the door
being
down.
Like, my God, who are these people?
Because these are like, you know, rich suits and they're in a bar of like, you know, biker types.
Yeah.
And the whole teeny wanger.
That's right.
Scene.
Yeah, that's right. This like amazing like I don't know, trashy like tough guy like kicks down the bathroom stall. Here's these two lackeys making fun of all the rednecks.
They're like they're less than half his size.
And then decides not to destroy them after watching them use the urinal trough and feeling bad.
It
for
ain't
them.
Worth it. With your teeny wangers. And
yeah,
he's laughing.
Now, I met Stan Hansen at a wrestling convention a few years ago.
Really?
And yeah, and I spoke to him at length about that scene, and he said he gets it all the time. He gets the teeny wanger thing all the time from the fans, and I said. I was going to say that when I first met you, but I decided I wasn't going to.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
You're probably the one he remembers, too. Yeah. That really cool fan who didn't quote Teeny Wanger.
He said a 30-plus year career in Japan and huge, huge name in wrestling, but the fans know him as the Teeny Wanger guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
he's not the one with the Teeny Wanger, though. He's the guy who picks on the guy.
That's right.
That's right. So they come out, and the Kurt Fuller has this... plan, you know, it's inspired a TV show from, and the name of the TV show he comes up with is incredible.
Oh yeah, it's like
you have to battle. Say, yeah, you have battle. To say it right.
Yeah,
battle of the tough guys.
Yeah.
Battle of the tough guys.
What a great. Although I'm every once in a while when I stop the movies, I pay them a compliment. This movie, the one compliment I'll pay is it eerily forecasts reality TV.
I was thinking that's
MMA.
Yeah,
like it's disturbingly predictive of those things, yep. And it actually is disturbingly predictive of some of the things that would actually provide a lot of competition and trouble for the WWF in the 2000s. You know, like they almost predicted their own. It's not obviously not their demise, but their own enemy, really.
Yep.
So he wants to make it into a reality TV show. I mean, it's basically. Like a classed up version of bum fights. Like yeah. He wants to get
basically,
like
he makes a challenge to anyone who thinks they're tough enough to take on big and strong people. So of course the big stereotypes: bikers, truckers, you know, guys hanging out in pool halls, you know, construction workers, you know, anybody, guys who've been in prison, you know, anybody who's just generically big tough guys.
Yeah.
He gives them $100,000 tax free if they can beat. And if they're the last man standing in this competition, which will be shot live in this bar that they randomly chose.
Right. Which, by the way, this really seems like something that would be on Spike TV today. Yeah. Like, I could see this show on Spike TV, like, happening, like, in real life.
I'm surprised Vince McMahon hasn't taken a spinoff and done it himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And at this point, What's the guy? What's Zeus's real name?
Tiny Lister.
Okay, Tiny Lister is.
Oh yeah, he's in a lot of
Zeus.
Things. He's in a lot of movies.
Friday. Yeah, Friday. He's from the Friday movies.
He's in those
Dark
Chorus
Night.
Commercials now.
Yeah, with Ice Cube.
He's wanted for a white collar crime now.
That's
oh, really?
True. Yeah, yeah, he was just arrested for mortgage fraud, basically swindling people out of millions of dollars in mortgage fraud. Yeah.
On the heels of last Friday, which is coming out next year.
Yeah.
That he's in. He might be in jail for the red carpet premiere.
Because I'll tell you, right when I saw Zeus in this movie, as he's like crushing people, I'm like,
I remember him
gonna...
as Zeus as a wrestler.
He
now,
was also
he made up,
a wrestler.
He was made up for the movie, and then he came in as like cross promotion with the film.
What it was after the movie came out, they wanted to do a whole promo to culminate in December of that year. It came out in the theaters in June of 89. They wanted to do a big pay-per-view spectacular in December where they did No Holds Barred, the match, the movie.
Okay.
So you saw the movie, and then immediately after, they had a tag team match with Hulk Hogan and Bruce Beefcake versus Randy Macho Man Savage and Zeus in a steel cage.
Okay.
So what they did is they had this Zeus character come onto WWF television after the movie came out and said, listen, it shouldn't have been Hulk Hogan that was the headliner. It should have been me. So that's what started the whole feud, and their first match was at SummerSlam of that year, August, they did a tag team match the same. It was a Beefcake and Hogan versus Savage and Zeus, and the only reason they did that is because Zeus was just so green as a wrestler, wasn't, you know, new to the business.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's the thing that I think is so funny about Zeus in this movie. He is barely a fighter. He just walks into
scenes.
Yeah,
he just starts...
absorbing
and, like,
punches,
shouting people, and like he
and then
really,
throwing him over the.
Can he turn his? I don't know. I don't know Tony Lister. Does he like? Is he fully mobile? Because it didn't appear that he could turn his head sideways.
Oh, he's so like,
I mean, I feel like if someone came at him from the side, he would have no idea.
Yeah, he pretty much. Yeah, he comes into the cage, and Kurt Fuller's like, let him fight. So he goes into the ring, and he starts just throwing people over the line. You know, just throwing people around.
Yeah,
and Kurt. Of course, Kurt Fuller knows he's found his guy to be his ratings guy.
Yeah.
So then it goes to, jumping ahead a bit, Kurt Fuller is trying to convince Rip to fight Zeus. And this is funny because, like, Hulk Hogan Rip is at some, like, birthday party or something, like, with a bunch of kids or
oh,
some
like
charity.
Oh, charity
park.
Your charity
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Park.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
This helicopter just comes over to the tree line and starts coming at him. At this point, I literally said out loud, I'm like, what is happening? And I laughed.
Fight the helicopter?
I laughed because literally like 2 seconds later, some kid in the crowd goes, what's happening? Because I want to know too. What's happening?
What is happening? Yeah.
So this helicopter lands and Rip or Zeus and
Kurt
Fuller come
Fuller
get out.
And his two lackeys are all walking in
yeah,
slow motion.
And they just come up to him.
Out of
and
the
this
smoke.
Is another moment where I'm like, this is just Rocky III. It's like when Clubber Lang
comes
up
to... When he's doing the statue.
Yeah, and challenging there. It's the same thing. Except it's Latin. It's
hey,
not
woman.
As,
woman!
Woman!
Hey, woman!
It's not as dramatic because it comes up to him. He's like, you want to fight? And Rip's like, no. And they're like, okay, I guess he doesn't want to fight. And they go back in the helicopter and leave.
And everyone's like, Rip turned down the challenge in front of all those children. So now he feels his pride has been crushed because for some reason he doesn't want to fight
But
Zeus.
He still doesn't
well,
know.
The reason is because the twist of the story, his trainer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
In the beginning, was training Zeus. Back in the
By
day,
the way,
he killed somebody in the ring.
Yep.
Yeah. The trainer to me looked exactly like the trainer from Punch Out.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. He did.
Yes. He did. I always remember that guy. This is totally obscure. If anyone's seen Clue. Whenever I see that guy, the cop? He's the cop in Clue.
Oh, is he the cop? That's right.
I don't know why I remember
I didn't even
him
catch that.
Why did you just say murder? I just said
that's
it so you'd open up
that's
the door.
Why I look, that's why I look familiar,
I can
too.
Never forget the guy from that. So much craziness in this movie to go over. Oh, my God. There's also, can we talk about the boardroom scene where Kurt Fuller's in there and an executive comes up and they're talking about Zeus being on TV and that it got big ratings, but another exec comes up and is like, we got all these Telegram complaints about Zeus being on TV. Telegrams? This is 1989. This is the second movie we've done from the late 80s where people are sending telegrams as normal mode of communication. Where are they sending the telegram from?
Western Union telegrams.
Yeah.
It's the best. They were so emotionally charged about Battle of the Tough Guys that they had to immediately go out and find a telegram
office. And let's jump forward, if we can. I think we're not jumping too far to the diner scene, which is...
Well, does this come before the hotel scene? Or
The which scene?
The hotel scene.
The diner scene is before the hotel scene. Okay. Yeah, which is... there's so much
Sam
craziness
just
doing
before.
This movie.
Rip takes Sam to a diner, and it's obvious, again, like at the French restaurant, he knows everybody there, and everybody loves him. He's sitting there, and he's eating food with this girl. And...
Now, what's Sam wearing in the scene? Did anyone notice what... Because there's so much going on in this movie.
Did anyone notice?
Joan Severance in this scene is wearing a dress shirt, a tie, and a suit. She's wearing a man's dress suit. It took me a second to realize. I'm like, why? She's wearing a tie.
Of all of the times that I've seen this movie since the day it came out on DVD, I never noticed that.
Alex is our wardrobe guy.
Why is she wearing... as soon as I noticed the tie, I was like, why is she wearing a tie?
Now I think about
it's,
it.
Alex
really
always
weird.
Notices the wardrobe.
Now that I think about
I do.
It, he does.
I do. So, coincidentally, as they're sitting there, a robber comes into the diner. Two robbers come into a diner. And
for no reason.
An episode of Burger Time breaks. Yep. I mean, like, craziness breaks out.
And it's such a huge, like, going from that first fight scene where he's bursting out of cars and making people crap their pants and beating the crap, throwing people all over the place.
He just stands up and does it. He stands up and he says... Hit the floor when I make my move. He stands up and boom, starts throwing pies at these guys with guns, and they're ducking and like, oh no, because he's throwing pies.
Not
at.
Once. I don't think at once did anyone try to use their guns.
No, they have guns. He is throwing pies at them. They have weapons.
It almost was like a spoof of the diner scene in is it either Dirty Harry or Sudden Impact? Are you familiar with these movies?
Yes. Yes. Make My Day.
That's Sudden Impact. Yeah, because it was Make My Day. So to me, it was almost like a spoof on that.
Maybe, yeah. I also felt like if you're a fan of 8-bit video games and you've ever played the legendary So Bad It's Terrible video game, the Back to the Future tie-in game, there is a level
a
where you're throwing milkshakes in a diner, and this felt like that level.
I have nightmares about that level.
Yeah. Which then goes to... I think this is followed immediately up by the hotel scene.
Yes.
You know this movie's bad. Yeah. We can just talk about the hotel scene, and we all know what
we
we're...
We all know it.
We
so
all know where we're going.
Staying in this hotel, and for some reason, the room...
Because you find out later. But this woman is apparently working for Kurt Fuller, so he changed their reservation so it would be a one-bedroom so that she could seduce Rip and convince him to come over to WTN.
This guy is pulling no punches, pun intended, to get this guy to come over.
This turns into the most disturbing sequence of any movie we've done on the show.
It does, easily.
I don't know who came up with the idea to do this, but...
Because she goes in the bathroom to, like, freshen up.
For some reason, there was no sleeping together, and they had to build the wall of sheets.
They had to build essentially an elaborate pillow fort. They basically make a blanket fort. They turned the bed into a blanket. Well, and we should also mention, Joan Severance goes into the bathroom to change into sleepwear. I guess
it's
we now
understand. It's like a sexy 90.
Well, it's kind of, but we understand where the telegrams came from because she comes out in this like turn of the century style
lingerie.
That's
true. It's kind of old fashioned looking. Yeah.
Yeah. And
you find out where the telegrams come from.
Yeah. And so they've made the bed into a blanket fort with like a blanket down the middle of the bed.
Scotch tape.
And Rip is in his tighty whities.
Rip is in this thong or something. It's like Hogan's barely wearing any
bed. It's basically a Speedo.
And it has to be the Rip aqua blue color. Yes. Or it wouldn't be
authentic. And I don't know. This is we try to keep this podcast family friendly. I am in my mind trying to describe the sequence that happens next. I'm going to do my best.
Basically, they both fall asleep like stereotypical.
No, they turn off the lights.
Back to back. All right, it's time. We're going to try to. All right, let's do this. They like kind of turn. Okay, and then all of a sudden she hears squeaking and grunting from the other side of the
sheets.
And
the bed, you're just seeing Joan Severance.
The bed is shaking.
The bed is shaking, like bouncing up and down. And she's alone on her side of the bed. And she has this look of horror on her face.
Horrified.
She is clearly terrified to look at what is going on the other side of the blanket. Like, just like we're right out of like a Halloween where she's like creeping up. She's gonna peer around the side of the blanket because I think she has some suspicions for what's going on the other side.
She peeks around the bed and she sees what appear to be a pair of butt cheeks.
Yes.
And I'm glad she's wasn't the only one that thought this.
And she's like,
for as long as
that disturbed me, but that's what honestly I thought it was. I was like, what? And then she kind of goes, ooh. And then she looks over and
Hulk Hogan is doing like maniac-style push-ups off the side of the bed in the middle of the night that is causing like the whole thing to vibrate. She's
and he's
like,
grunting.
What the hell?
Yeah, because he's doing push-ups.
And then she's kind of like, she's like, what the hell are you doing? Or says something like that. At some point,
there's another good line in here too.
Well, there is.
Well, the end of the scene is a good one.
Well, there's a great scene.
Just don't wait up, honey.
All of a sudden, like, he's like, all right, I'm done doing push-ups.
He flops into the bed and breaks it under his, like, 300-pound weight.
The bed breaks. She rolls on top of him. Clearly, like, this is pretty,
she thinks he did it on purpose.
She thinks he did it on purpose. He did just break the bed.
He tries to break the ice.
And he says something.
He goes, hey, chill out. The bed broke. Like, it's a totally normal thing. Like, she should just be like, oh, well, another bed broke, and I'm on top of a guy in a Speedo. You know, what a weird day this is.
Yeah.
Well, then, so she starts freaking out and yelling at him, and he gets up and grabs his blankets and starts going towards the door, and she says, like, where are you going? And he says something like, the couch in the lobby has a better sense of humor than you do. So I'm going to go sleep down there.
The couch in the lobby has a better sense of humor than
he leaves. And then it cuts to the next day when she's talking to Kurt Fuller and it comes out that she's working for him and that he had done that so that he could seduce her. But she likes him.
He ultimately assaults Sam.
Oh, that's right. He slaps her.
He does. The next scene
sets up the love. Well,
this is a movie that's been wildly slapstick comedy at times.
And it gets serious.
And it like jumps between like going from wildly slapstick to now we have a scene of an attempted rape.
Because
a
what
guy
happens
attempts
is,
to rape her.
We're cut to a scene. You were supposed to seduce Rip. Why didn't you? I'm sorry. It didn't work out. You were the one who put us in the same room. Of course I did. You're supposed to seduce him. But now it didn't work. And she says, well, I love my quit. He slaps her.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of like, oh, they're all scared of him.
Well, I mean, like, the next
then
scene...
Then she leaves,
like,
and he says, leaves. We'll take care of her.
Oh, the next scene, that's right.
He hires the parking garage. They imply that she gets attacked
in a parking garage.
And it's obvious this guy is going to try to rape her.
They pay a guy to try to rape...
Basically.
This isn't a
luckily,
movie that had Hulk Hogan throwing pies at
then,
robbers.
But then...
talking about Dookie.
Yeah.
But then Hulk Hogan shows up with a motorcycle and beats him up with the motorcycle.
He starts doing his whole... thing again.
Doesn't even call the cops or anything.
He just runs the guy
into
a tree.
Three Stooges routine.
It's kind of like... It's kind of like in 88 Minutes when Al Pacino was just going to call campus security in the attempted rape instead of the police.
That's right.
Yeah. So
that's
then he,
true.
Yeah, he disposes of this guy. He runs him into a tree, whatever. Goes back to the girl, Sam, whatever her name is. Brings her back to Is this
his
he,
house?
He goes back to their house, and then they start fooling around, whatever.
Yeah.
And he sees on TV some, I can't remember what it was, someone talking about Zeus and how he's, I can't remember exactly what happened.
He's doing something. Well, somewhere at this point, like.
Zeus is doing a live interview and he challenges Rip.
Right.
He challenges Rip. And then, and at this match, Hulk Hogan's brother slash Jacob from Lost is at this match, and in this bizarre set of circumstances.
It's like a cave.
Yeah. Yeah, wait,
they're fighting. It's like a factory.
They're fighting in a steel plant, and he's fighting a guy with a big sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the brother's name now is. It's like Randy or something.
Randy. It's Randy.
It's Randy. Yeah. Rogers. Rip Rogers is the name of
Hogan's character.
So he goes to this fight, this Zeus fight, to like check out Zeus, see what he's
capable of.
Yeah, and then they get found out. Kurt Fuller catches him, whatever, brings him to Zeus, and just has Zeus just. Destroy this kid.
Destroys him. Like, apparently, I mean, for a movie that's been wildly slapstick, it was implied that he was, like, partially paralyzed.
Absolutely. Because he's in a wheelchair for the rest of the movie.
Basically,
And then Rip finds out, and then.
He bumps into Kurt Fuller, who basically feeds him to Zeus. Zeus puts him in traction.
But not without Randy getting his couple shots in.
Of course. Randy did get a couple shots in. We'll give him that.
Yeah.
And now Rip is on a rampage, and he wants to kick Zeus's ass.
Well, he does, and now we spend 10 minutes, this is just filler, 10 minutes of Hulk Hogan trashing an empty gym, trying to find where Zeus is.
Zeus!
Yeah.
While Kurt Fuller is just talking to him on a monitor.
On a video
monitor. Yeah, like they're
monitor.
Watching, like, yeah, like yeah, laughing at him.
It really felt like they were like, we need to pad out this running time. Yeah. We're just going to have Hulk Hogan throw stuff around a gym for 10 minutes.
He despises the ground you walk on. That's it's a motivational video for Zeus.
Kurt Fuller, yeah.
Okay. That's right. Zeus's training facility with the big Z on the wall. Yep. All of a sudden, Zeus went from this guy nobody knew running into this bar that had peanuts and midgets running around, and he's got his own personalized gym with a big Z on the wall.
Yeah, and to raise the stakes, because the stakes in this movie are crazy. So Zeus has, like, maybe handicapped Rip's brother, we don't know. Then the executive has the girl, like, Joan Severance, kidnapped.
Well, this they set up the fight.
Yeah.
He finally says he's going to fight Zeus. They set up the fight, and at the event, they have this whole montage of Randy, like, learning to walk again, and they have him in a wheelchair. And they bring
montage!
They bring
him. Right.
So they bring him to the fight, and the girl's at the fight, and then they kidnap the girl and bring her upstairs to some room in the center or whatever.
Like the control room, where they're watching the fight.
And Kurt Fuller tells Hulk Hogan, make it look good for 10 minutes and then lose, or we paralyze the girl too.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what he says. Yeah, that's what he says.
So the fight starts and
Zeus comes out in an outfit right out of Buck Rogers.
Now we're in an octagonal ring.
Yes,
we are in the octagon.
I saw that. Yeah,
but before the fight, though, I forgot. Hulk Hogan tells his trainer to go find the girl. He says, "You have 10 minutes to go find the girl."
Yeah,
and so the trainer and some other guy too go and they start looking for the girl.
Yeah, Randy's weird friend who suddenly popped into the movie and who's about to suddenly pop out of the movie. Yeah,
so the fight begins and as the fight's going on and Hulk Hogan's getting beat. They are looking for the girl. I think they finally find her. They run into her in an elevator or something. I can't remember. She sneaks out. Yeah.
She escapes. And if you watch this movie.
Because all the security guards are too busy watching the fight. So
that's what you have to. If you watch this movie, and I highly recommend you do, because this movie is crazy, like, so bad it's good. Watch the lackeys, like the Kurt Fuller's and lackeys, while Joan Severance, you're supposed to be watching Joan Severance sneaking out of the room. If you watch Kurt Fuller's and lackeys, the two, like, David Paymer and the other guy, they're doing a crazy impression of the fight, like, in the front row, which is way more entertaining. Like, their horrible pantomime is, like, one of the best things in this movie.
So she sneaks out. They find... she runs into the guys looking for her, and then...
She gets into an elevator. Her big theory is she's gonna... They're chasing her. She gets into an elevator. The elevator doors close, and the guy's chasing her on the other side, and she takes what has to be the slowest elevator ride to anywhere.
Because they get back down, too.
Not only did the henchmen beat her to the ground floor, they beat her by, like, a solid 30 seconds.
But the door opens, and they're like, okay, and they grab her.
They grab her.
And right then, as the doors open.
But then the two friends get there and they like...
Beat him up. Pointless.
They beat him up and then so they're together again. They run to the match,
which leads to
they're watching it ringside.
Why even kidnap her? Like, why is this even a plot point in the movie? Because it amounted to nothing.
Because then Kurt Fuller realizes that the girl has escaped and that now Rip is going to try to win the match.
Yeah.
And then just craziness. The fight spills out into the audience.
Yeah.
The ring breaks.
For some reason, the control room explodes.
Kurt Fuller throws stuff at the
controls. Still, I've been in a lot of control rooms in my life, and I don't think they're built like that.
They're not built like... Well, this is really like just, well, at a, one just point a terrible, two, terrible fight scene.
At 1.2, I don't know if I heard this wrong or not, but as they're watching the fight, I think it's as she's escaping, one of the lackeys... says something like, "Look at the ratings! Like, there's like a ratings ticker.
The ratings are going up. The ratings are going up."
Yeah, that's not how ratings work.
Yeah, and especially not in 1989. Right, you might get overnight ratings, but you weren't getting like second by second. Yeah. So, I liked Zeus's big move, which seemed to be like Zeus really, you can tell, like is not. I mean, for whatever you want to say about wrestling, most of these guys are like incredibly limber, can really do like amazing, amazing things. Zeus clearly cannot. His big move is to push Hogan's face into his belly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's it. That's like.
And his... then the double on the triceps coming down the, like the double sledgehammers on the triceps.
Yeah.
And that yell.
Yeah.
You know? He does a lot of clotheslines because he just sticks his arms out, right?
So the fight spill, it goes into the audience up onto like a riser, and then Rip basically just pushes Zeus off the riser. And he
kills him.
He
starts punching him. One, two, three.
Yeah, he like falls to the canvas.
Then he turns. Yeah. Well, he turns. Faces Kurt Fuller. Yeah, calls him a jockass.
And then Kurt Fuller, I can't remember how, but he ends up stumbling back into the...
For reasons that I can't understand.
Hulk Hogan breaks the glass to get to him. Probably to scare him or rough him up.
Kurt Fuller is pulling all the wiring out of the wall, like to take the broadcast off the air. Which you want to say, dude, if you're going for ratings, this show has got to be having... Why would you be taking this off the air if your goal...
I think
whole goal is ratings. They've got to be getting incredible ratings.
Again, I've been in a lot of control rooms. I'm pretty sure there's an easier way to go to black than tearing all the wires out of the wall.
Yank all the wires.
Like not button. To waste 5 minutes for a movie.
Or waste all the money it took to build that control room.
Yeah. And so then, like Hogan doesn't actually kill Kurt Fuller.
He just gets electrocuted.
He trips back into the wiring.
And
he gets electrocuted.
Which Hogan kind of looks.
And again,
Hogan kind of watches this like I would watch like toast being made. Well, like Hogan's like totally.
It was very weird to me to watch too, because it was like this wasn't a movie where like the bad guy deserved to die or you expected him to die. It was like he's a TV exec who.
Yeah, he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of responsible for his brother being paralyzed.
Well, it didn't pay a guy to rape a girl.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, one thing we did skip over when Hogan was making his comeback in the match against Zeus, as he's, I think he had him in some sort of submission hold because Hogan was about to get out. Yeah. And he looked over at his brother, and in that, because he's, you know, kind of paralyzed, he does that
mini rip hand move.
And then all of a sudden, Hogan's eyes just go wide, and that's how that goes into the
That's a very inspirational hand move. Yeah. That's what I've learned from this movie. Yeah. Like, if someone's ever down and out, just give them that little Hogan hand move gesture, and they're like, you know, they're like, it's like spinach to Popeye. They're good to go.
So it's just like any other sports kind of movie. The good guy wins, the bad guy gets killed.
It's like Hoosiers if the other team died at the end of Hoosiers. Yeah.
And the
they'll explode.
The same kind of thing is done over and over again in those sports movies. But unlike any other sports movie, the bad guy comes back to life to go on television to challenge Hulk Hogan in a match in the WWF.
That's the WWF. They never missed a chance for cross promotion.
There was
Zeus wrestled in the WWF.
Was that after the credits or during the credits?
In real life.
Zeus did promotion.
I thought you meant in the movie.
He comes into the WWF. He challenges Hulk Hogan. They do the whole thing at SummerSlam. They do some stuff, and it all culminates December 21st on television. I think they taped it in a cage match where Hogan, the finisher of the match, was a big body slam to Zeus. three leg drops of the Hogan, you know, the Hogan leg drops, and he pinned. This was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the first time that the traditional cage match in the WWF, to win, you either had to go out the door, up and over the cage. Mm-hmm. But this was an actual, you could pin the opponent in the ring, and he pinned Zeus, and he was only in one other appearance after that. It was at the Royal Rumble. He did like an interview before the Royal Rumble, and that was the last you ever saw Zeus. Until 1996, when they brought Zeus back into WCW, when they were trying to do the annihilation of Hulkamania WCW, before Hulk Hogan did that whole big
bad guy. Was he Hollywood Hogan at that point?
No, he was still, this is when just before they did all that heel turn stuff, he was still the red, white, and blue, yellow and red Hulkamania. They came out with an alliance to end Hulkamania was the name of the group, and they brought in Z Gangsta was the name they used because they couldn't use Zeus because it was copyrighted by the WWF, and he came back and they did a program in WCW. By this time, he wasn't as big, but he got an action figure out of it, out of the movie. Three or four years ago, the WWE now came out with a classic Superstars line, and they made a Zeus character with a chain.
Okay.
And they came out with a Hulk Hogan figure that was wearing the aqua blue and white getup. So there was some merchandising.
Wow. Wow.
And while looking up, doing some research on the merchandising, I was on eBay, and I stumbled across an aqua blue Rip'em t-shirt.
Oh,
and I immediately bought now, and it's on my way.
Oh, nice.
On the way to my house, an aqua blue Randy Rip'em t-shirt.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. Pretty sweet. That's good merchandise.
Rip'em! The movie, I can honestly say I saw it in the theater. I own the VHS, I own the Laserdisc, and now I own the copy that just came out at a bargain price
of
$7.99 because the only special feature is a photo gallery. Now, if WWE was smart, they would have done the whole, done a second disc with the feud.
Yeah, they definitely should have done that.
And they should have put it on Blu-ray too, but yeah. And now it's just under WWE Studios. That I think maybe the copyright got out, or they bought it out of. But I still have all the.
Well, is that? Do you know why? Did they? It was. I'm guessing it was a choice to not have Hulk Hogan play Hulk Hogan. Like, was that like a copyright thing for why? Because like Rip is Hulk Hogan. Right. Like, but like,
why not just call him Hulk Hogan?
Make it a WWE. I don't know.
I think maybe to separate that from the wrestling.
Okay.
But, Zeus coming out of the movie and being Zeus in the WWF, but hey.
Yeah, it works, yeah.
What are you going to do?
All right, so that is No Hold Bar. We've got a couple of fun regular things. We have a couple segments. We have our Loved It, which is where we give reviews from IMDb of people who enjoyed the movie, and we have a very fun So Wrong It's Right, a question about the movie that we're going to pass out to the whole panel to see what people's thoughts on it are. The first review in Loved It is from Dead Kennedys fan from Ohio. And this is the quote. As the movie goes on, it gets a lot better. I won't ruin it for you that much. Thank you for no spoilers, Dead Kennedy fan. That's really crucial. I recommend it to anyone ages 6 to 60.
After 60, no.
After 60, no.
If you're 60
years old, you will not enjoy this movie. And he gave it, I'm trying to count all the zeros in this. It's a review out of 10. So out of 10, he gave it a 10 billion out of 10.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. So a pretty positive review. And the next one is from Ian Stewart. I'm not sure. Ian Stewart's email address actually has the words Hitman Heart in it. So take this as what
wrestling
you will.
Fan, okay.
Ian Stewart gave it 10 out of 10 on IMDb. And quote, in terms of entertainment, I would put this next to The Goonies. I know a lot of people hate it. Yeah, that's pretty high praise. I know a lot of people hate it. But to sum it up, here's the good points. And he provides a couple of bullet points for why it's a good movie. One. It has Hogan. That right there. You can't argue with that.
That means Suburban Commando is a good movie.
And Santa with Muscles are fantastic movies.
Exactly. And you can't argue. That is a factually true statement. Hulk Hogan is in this movie.
Number it wasn't Gremlins 2.
That's true, too.
Yep.
Number two,
that was pretty cool.
It has some funny little skits, like Dookie. Okay, well, all right. And the last point is, it is also a typical script of late 80s WWF / WWE television, which drew monster numbers.
That is right. That was the height. That was the height of.
That was the height of that kind of era of. Yeah. I mean, wrestling's had a lot of different eras.
WrestleMania 3 is when it started going up, and Hogan he brought that company to what it is today.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things I'd like to talk about in this movie, we'll just stop the movie moments in a minute, but like. Hulk Hogan is a charismatic guy.
Yeah.
Like, and when you see Hulk Hogan in other things, like, I'm not going to say Hulk Hogan's had a fantastic movie career, but he has kind of a charisma, like a personality. He seems so uncomfortable in this movie. I mean, for what is probably his biggest role, he does not at any point in the movie really feel like he is at ease. Like, I feel like you're really watching him, like, act, and he's not in his element.
The only thing he did before that was Thunderlips.
I guess it's true.
Where he was playing Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Because at that time, when Rocky III came out, the character of Hulk Hogan was a bad guy.
Yeah.
That wore a cape, wore the white... before he was in before he was brought in the WWF in the late 80... In late 83, he was in the AWA, the American Wrestling Association. And he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's where they got from Rocky III. That was the Hulk Hogan character in that time.
Yeah, it just surprised me. I mean, I don't know if it was the... Maybe it was the setups or the more precise nature of filmmaking. Like, it's just when you watch him in that, you know, in those mid-80s WWF, he's very comfortable on camera. He's, you know, really charismatic. And here he's so awkward. And it's just, you know, it actually made me uncomfortable because I'm like, oh, well, like to see him being uncomfortable. Here's our question. Okay, this is the, every week we do the So Wrong It's Right, a questions movie. Someone in this movie played a Klingon in a Star Trek TV episode.
Star Trek, the original one? Or
If we need more of a hint, I'll go in. I will say it's not the original. It's one of the follow-up shows. If anyone has a guess on who... If no one's comfortable with a guess, I will tell you which Star Trek show it was.
Klingon. Somebody in the movie...
It could be any of the wrestlers that were in the movie, because Klingons are typically very big.
Or is it a wrestler?
I don't think it's Kurt Fuller.
George Severance?
I don't think it's Hogan or Fuller. I think that it's easy to eliminate both of them.
If Jack doesn't have it by now, I don't think anyone's gonna get it.
All right, I'll just give a hint. I'll give a hint.
It's gotta be Next Gen or Next Gen or after.
This is a very Jack tailored question.
Yeah.
It's Enterprise.
That's why I don't know.
And this is actually, he was playing the first Klingon to ever make contact with humans.
Which is one of the only episodes of Enterprise I ever saw.
Is it one of the main actors?
It wasn't Tiny Lister, was it?
It is Tiny Lister.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He was that Klingon?
I think I said his name was Tony. It's Tom.
Tom. Yeah.
Well, I said Tiny.
We record this whole thing.
Tom. I know. Yeah.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah, we're wildly inaccurate. Yeah. And let's go around. I mean, maybe we can go around and do our quick, is it so bad it's good, and our stop the movie moments. For me, I would say the movie is so bad it's good. It's crazy. It's a mess of a movie, but it's bizarrely entertaining in that there are so many crazy things happening. You kind of almost have to see it to believe it, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's so bad it's good, because he jumped through the roof of the car, because he made the guy crap his pants, because of the horrible pie-throwing sequence, the bit in the hotel room is just full of moments. The bad guy...
electrocuting himself.
Electrocuting himself. The character himself totally made the movie.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I mean, if you're into bad movies, it's one you should probably see, because... It's a pillar of bad filmmaking.
I was 11 when it came out. Hulk Hogan was my world. When I was a kid, I thought this was the greatest movie that ever was on. Not until I, saw it again in my older years, I realized that, yes, it was very cheesy, but I still think for what it did to the time period, I think it's great.
It is a look into 80s wrestling in a way. And I there's one little moment we didn't talk about, and again, if people watch this movie, something that you have to watch for in the scene where the helicopter flies in to like this weird like benefit, like Zeus, you know, they kept flying the helicopter to challenge Hogan, and Hulk Hogan, the Rip character, is clearly holding some kind of like children's camp or like, I don't know, coaching clinic, or I don't know what's going on. For reasons that are never fully explained in the movie, watch as Zeus and them come up, because the character of Randy, his brother, Jacob from Lost, is in full clown makeup during the entire scene.
Full clown makeup. I didn't notice that.
It's hilarious. I couldn't take my eyes off it after I saw it.
What do you say?
He had to play that. Imagine that day on the set. He spent that entire day on the set in full blown clown makeup.
And he didn't even have a line.
Didn't even have a line. Like that had to be that's got to be like his worst day on a film.
Unless
set.
There were lines that were cut.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I think they should put out one more edition, make a special edition, put another disc, and put that whole feud with Zeus and all that stuff on. It'll be great.
Yeah, get all that history on there.
Yep.
I think that is our show for this week. We have a lot more stuff coming up. We are heading into our October Horror Fest. I believe our next episode is going to be Season of the Witch. Nick Cage making a return to the Stop the
Finding
Movie.
Finding out how many sharks are in his bag.
Oh, yeah. What's in there? The plague? Yeah.
The plague or something?
Yeah. All kinds of great stuff. Really wanted to thank Bill for being here, guiding us through this piece of, you know, wrestling history.
Piece of something.
When I went to, full disclosure, I still follow wrestling a little bit, and I go to WrestleMania every year, and I was in line to meet Ricky the Dragon Steamboat this year, and I'm not the guy that stands in line anymore, because I've met just about everybody. But I've never met Ricky the Dragon, so we stood in line. It wasn't that big of a line. And all in the lines, the marketing for WWF is amazing. There's TV screens in all the lines, and they're showing all sorts of trailers of what events are coming up. And I saw a trailer for No Holds Barred.
Wow.
And my jaw just dropped. And as we were leaving the convention center, this was part of Access. It's like a big convention during WrestleMania. They were passing out cards, bullet cards with No Holds Barred on one side and another movie that's coming out called The Day.
Okay.
That's a WWE film.
And yeah.
I was just floored that finally, after so many years, they're finally putting it on DVD.
It is. Yeah, it is. This is a piece of film history. This was out of print for a long time. Too long.
Yep.
Too long.
And that Laserdisc was worth a ton of money for a while. There's 5 Laserdiscs in the WWF collection.
Wow.
Being the nerd that I am, I have all 5, but No Holds Barred's one, and then the first 4, Vince McMahon owned a company called Coliseum Video, where they put compilation...
Clips, right.
Yeah, and right. They released 4 of them on Laserdisc.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That is really cool. So glad we got Bill here for this episode. As always, please, if you get a minute, like our Facebook page, Stop the Movie. I want to get out on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at WindUpFilms, and...
at Jack Estabrook. I tweet live as I watch.
Yeah, always entertaining, always worth a watch. And if you get a minute, if you like the show, please give us a positive review on iTunes. We're so grateful. A lot of really nice people have given us reviews. We're very grateful for those. Those help us in the iTunes system, help us bring the show to more people, and really help us out. So... very excited. We've got more special guests coming, more terrible movies, more horror movies for October, and we'll be back soon. All right. Thanks. Bye.